Welcome to Spruce Grove Alliance Church, your home.
Well, good morning, everybody. How are you this morning? Good. Excellent. If you don't know who I am, my name is Josh Paulski. I'm the youth young adults pastor here at the church. And it's now our summer, which is awesome. Who enjoyed their long weekend? Wow, that sounds like it was pretty lame, but that's all right. Yeah, I mean, it rained, but I don't know, it was good. Did anybody go out to the Canada Day stuff? I did not, so a few. Once again, it just kind of plays to the whole room, and it was okay, right? Only some of you went out to the fireworks, but welcome this morning. I'm excited and happy to be here, and I'm going to be kicking off kind of our series of listening to Jesus as he works through some of the parables in the New Testament. And so the parable that we're going to be working through this morning is the heart of a man. And this one, no matter what season you're in, no matter what season I find myself in, I go and I read this one, and it just feels like Jesus is always speaking to me. And so I pray the same for all of us here in the room this morning. Because it's an important, all of what Jesus says is important, but this one to me, let me tell you, I always hear him speaking. And so today, as we get into the summer, what better way to start off the summer than to analyze the condition of our hearts? And so, we get to slow down, maybe, some of us. Some of you guys are like, Josh, I'm ramping up work in the summer. When I used to do landscaping, that's how it was, just work. But we get to kind of slow down, enjoy the nice sunshine, the summer, hopefully, eventually. We're going to be able to just enjoy not doing all of the crazy stuff in the midweek. And normally, I think in the summer, we tend to forget to go to Jesus because we get so busy just trying to rest. And so this morning, we're going to start our summer off right, and we're going to analyze the condition of our heart. But let's pray first. Before we jump in. Dear Lord, we just thank you for this morning. God, we thank you for your presence here among us. God, that you're always here, that you're always working, that you always speak. And so, God, may that be true again this morning. May you speak directly to each and every single one of us here. May we not ignore it. May we not be offended by it. But God, may we hear plainly what it is that you have to say to us. Not to the person beside us, God, not to the person at home, or whoever we might think needs this message, God, we need it. And so remove our agenda to fix everybody else and just fix ourselves this morning. Or to change ourselves. It's maybe a better way to say it. And so, God, we just thank you that you are filled with grace, that you are gentle and loving and kind. And so, God, we just thank you. And so, Lord, would you speak this morning? We just pray this in your name. Amen. All right. So, we're going to be flipping to Matthew 15 this morning. We're going to be reading from verse 1 all the way to 20. So, as you flip there, I'm going to kind of break, because what is a parable? Jesus answers what a parable is for us. And in Matthew 13, he addresses the question that the disciples ask him. They go, Jesus, why are you speaking in this weird brain maze thing? Why are you speaking in parables? It makes no sense. And Jesus says this to him. He goes, to you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. For to the one who has, more will be given, and he will have an abundance. But for the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. And this is why I speak to them in parables. Because seeing, they do not see. And hearing, they do not hear, nor do they understand. So, but I want to hear. And I want to see. May that be our desire, that we hear and see. May we not be the ones that the parable gets spoken to and we don't hear it. Because those people were not listening really in the first place. And Jesus is kind of saying that. He goes, look, they saw, they just didn't see it. They heard, they just didn't hear it. And so as we read the parables through the whole summer, remember, you got to listen and see and want that for yourself. So let it penetrate the depths of your heart. But to start, to kind of emphasize something that I feel like, and to start off the summer in a lighthearted way, I have a video that I'm going to tell Joe to play. Some of you may have seen it, but you know, it's a good reminder. And also, it's pretty hilarious, so.
It's just, there's all this pressure, you know? And sometimes it feels like it's right up on me, and I can just feel it, like literally feel it in my head, and it's relentless, and I don't know if it's going to stop. I mean, that's the thing that scares me the most, is that I don't know if it's ever going to stop.
Yeah. Well, you do have a nail in your head.
It is not about the nail.
Are you sure? Because, I mean, I'll bet if we got that out of there...
Stop trying to fix it.
No, I'm not trying to fix it. I'm just pointing out that maybe the nail is causing...
You always do this. You always try to fix things when what I really need is for you to just listen. No,
see, I don't think that is what you need. I think what you need is to get the nail
out. See, you're not even listening now.
Okay, fine. I will listen. Fine.
It's just... Sometimes it's like... There's this achy... I don't know what it is. And I'm not sleeping very well at all. And all my sweaters are snagged. I mean, all of them.
That sounds really hard.
It is. Thank you. Ow!
Oh, come on. Ow. If you would just...
Don't! Try to see things my way. Do I
have to keep on talking till I can go on? So, use that as a good reminder that don't fix the person's nail beside you, all right? As we read the word, may we just focus on ourselves this morning, all right? So we're going to read Matthew 15. We're going to start at verse 1. We're just going to read from verse 1 to 10 to start, or 9 to start. So let's read. I'm reading out of the NLT this morning. So some Pharisees and teachers of religious law now arrived from Jerusalem to see Jesus. And they asked him, "Why do your disciples disobey our age-old tradition? For they ignore our tradition of ceremonial hand washing before they eat." And Jesus replied, "And why do you, by your traditions, violate the direct commandments of God? For instance, God says, 'Honor your father and mother,' and anyone who speaks disrespectfully of father or mother must be put to death. But you say it is all right for people to say to their parents, 'Sorry, I can't help you. For I have vowed to give to God what I would have given to you.' And in this way, you say they don't need to honor their parents, and so you cancel the word of God for the sake of your own tradition. You hypocrites! Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you, for he wrote, 'These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Their worship is a farce, for they teach man-made ideas as commands from God.'" Okay. So right off the start, we see some Pharisees and some scribes coming to Jesus from Jerusalem. If you don't know where Jesus is at the time, he is in Gennesaret, which is on the far west, northwest side of the Sea of Galilee. It's about 34 hours of walking distance from Jerusalem. And so these Pharisees and scribes walked a very long way to hunt down Jesus, to find him. And then just say something actually kind of silly when you think about it. They go, "Why are you not telling your disciples to wash their hands?" Right? What a long way to walk to tell Jesus, tell them to wash. Right? Feels like a waste of time, if I'm honest with you. But they were so convinced in their heart that this was a matter that needed to be attended, that they were going to put that much time one way to go find him and tell him, "Look, Jesus, this is the line, and hand washing, just over the line. Hope you know where we stand. We're on this side, and you're on the non-hand-washing side. And somehow, though, this is kind of how we can become as Christians. And we get these ideas of tradition, and we put them in place, and we go, man, it's really important that we sing first before we get to the word. And if we didn't, what happens then? What if we sang after the word? And then we did the word first. Would that totally annoy you to the point where you go, you know what? I need to talk to Josh. He did the word first, and then the worship, right? We need to make sure that we mention that. But sometimes it becomes so much of a problem in our lives that we are actually focusing on the wrong thing altogether. We are focusing on our tradition instead of on just honoring God. And so here these Pharisees have walked a long way just transfixed on their tradition. And Jesus quickly points out that they have not been honoring God at all. Do you, he says, by your traditions violate the direct commandments of God? You do. You're told to honor your father and mother, and yet you don't. And you use your service to God as an excuse for how you are not going to honor your father and mother. I'm too busy honoring God. I can't be bothered to honor you. And Jesus goes, "That no. In his word, it tells us to honor our father and mother, and yet you do not." And where you're contradicting yourself. Jesus is leading them to become aware of the condition of their heart. Because then he says in Isaiah, he kind of says, Isaiah 29, 13, he says this, "These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me." The ESV then says the next verse, part of the verse, "In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. In vain they worship, because they only pay lip service to something that they don't actually live out." And so this morning, let's become aware of the condition of our heart. So how is your heart? Okay, don't think about everybody else's nail in the room. Everyone's got one, all right? Everyone's snagging their sweaters their own way, all right? But let's just look at yours, okay? You know the condition of your heart. You know you're not perfect. If you say that you are, then analyze further, because you're wrong, okay? You're not perfect. There's probably some pride there, right? I'm looking at that nail. But look at your own heart right now. How is it? Are you okay? As we enter into the summer, we kind of get to almost, give like a sigh of relief in some ways, right? Oh, it's beautiful. Right? We get to jump into summer. So how is the condition of your heart? How are you doing? When you look there, do you see it filled with love and joy? Are you filled with peace? Are you filled with kindness and mercy and gentleness? Is your heart just being overwhelmed with the fullness of God's Spirit within you? Or when you look there, the first thing that you looked at, you were like, Josh, right over here. I saw it right away, right? Is there anger? Is there pain? Is there malice towards somebody else? Is there bitterness? What is it? How is your heart? Because this is what Jesus is telling us is important. To not just pay lip service, but to honor God with both our lips and our actions. So let's become aware of our heart this morning. To illustrate this further, when Beth and I were just talking through the week, I had a visual of a snail, for example. So picture yourself as a snail, just briefly, right? I know for some of you, it was really easy. Others are like, how, right? But because there's kids in the room, kids, also visualize yourself as a snail, all right? You're slow, you're small. Okay, but now you are told to go and clean the world as a snail. And you go, yes, sir. I'm going to go clean that world, Josh. I'm going to clean it. And I give you the tiniest broom, and you go sweeping, all right? And your sidewalk looks amazing, all right? That's what you think. You're going, this sidewalk's going to be beautiful by the time I'm done. But the problem is that snails leave behind this gross, weird residue stuff behind, and it's like mucus or, you know, boogers or snot. And so the snail looks in front and he goes, I'm killing it. It's looking good. But really behind, he's leaving this nasty trail of goo, right? And this is what we can do in our own lives, is we look at our life and at the top of it and we go, Josh, I'm doing really good. Doing really good. But really sometimes behind us, there's a lot of stuff that we've kind of pretended like it's not there. That maybe we're actually leaving some goo behind. And instead of actually cleaning up the world as we intend, we're actually leaving it messier than we, you know, have even started cleaning up. In pursuit of cleaning the world, we're not leaving it cleaner, maybe, as a church. We're not leaving the fruit of the Spirit wherever we go. We're leaving the fruit of something else. And the problem is that we're leaving fruit no matter what we do, and everybody, it's easy to see, right, for the outside world maybe. Even for us looking at each other, we're like, whoa, you say you're doing good, but look at that nail over there, right? And the world's going, church, you say you're doing good, but you say you're helping and you're loving, but really all I see is that big old nail, right? It's not being addressed. And so how is the condition of our heart? I'm going to be repeating myself a lot this morning, because sometimes it takes that much. For me, how many times do I need to ask myself that before I finally sit down and go, maybe I should probably look? My oldest son, Ocean, he loves noodles. Loves them. All right, he eats a lot of them, and this week he had a bunch. And the thing with noodles is there's pasta sauce, and he started eating them, and the pasta sauce this time, not every time, but this time especially, it was all over his mouth, all over the place. And right after dinner, he comes, and I'm sitting on the couch, and he wants to come and snuggle and watch what I'm watching on my phone, and immediately his mouth comes in contact with my shirt. I'm like, whoa, hey, turn your mouth a bit, right? You're trying to, like, adjust. And then he starts to pull up the nice white blanket, and he starts to pull it up to his mouth. I'm like, whoa, no, your face is a mess. Right? And it's just, we need to be aware sometimes. He wasn't aware that his face, you know, was covered in sauce. And we need to be aware as well if our face is covered in sauce. So, he needed to clean up, and so do we. Always do we need to. We always need to come before the cross. We always need to. And so as we continue on, just keep thinking, what is the condition of my heart? Keep listening. So, we're going to keep reading, though. Let's go to verse 10. Matthew 15, verse 10. Then Jesus called to the crowd to come and hear. Listen, he said, and try to understand. It's not what goes into your mouth that defiles you. You are defiled by the words that come out of your mouth. And then the disciples came to him and asked, do you realize you offended the Pharisees by what you just said? And Jesus replied, every plant not planted by my heavenly Father will be uprooted. So ignore them. They are blind guides leading the blind. And if one blind person guides another, they will both fall into a ditch. And then Peter said to Jesus, explain to us the parable that says people aren't defiled by what they eat. Don't you understand yet? Jesus asked. Anything you eat passes through your stomach and then goes out into the sewer. But the words that you speak come from your heart. That's what defiles you. For from the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, all sexual immorality, theft, lying, and slander. These are what defile you. Eating with unwashed hands will never defile you. So what is Jesus saying here? Is he saying you don't need to wash your hands? Right? All the kids are thinking that. I don't think that's exactly what he's saying here, okay? He's just saying washing your hands isn't what's important. That's not what's most important. What's most important is the condition of your heart. Stop worrying about your hands and if they're washed or not. That's not what you need to wash. What you need to wash is your heart. Do you not understand yet, right? That's what Jesus says. Do you not get it? And he always explains it to the disciples because they ask. They want to know. And he says, look, the reason is not, all of what we're saying here is not about your hands. It's not. It's about your heart. And so when you look at your life, all right, it's not about everything else. Ignore the distractions of the week, the month, the year. It's not about any of that right now. Right now, Jesus is concerned with our hearts. It's important. And so we need to stop trying to deflect and pretend like it's not, because it is. What is the overflow of your heart? That will tell you the condition of your heart. The overflow will tell you the condition of your heart. So if you want to know how you're doing, look at the overflow. What is it that's coming out of your mouth? What does your actions look like? And so as you go through your life now, start to process, you know, your life here at the church, maybe. What does the overflow look like? Is it the fruit of the Spirit? Or does the fruit look like something else? When you're at home, what does the overflow look like? Is it the fruit of the Spirit or the fruit of something else? When you're at work, analyze what your life looks like. What does the overflow at work look like? Are you somebody completely else? Jesus does not fit into that equation at all. What does the overflow look like? We need to ask ourselves. It's not like one piece of our life we can compartmentalize and go, look, I'm going to give Jesus, you know, just church. That's it. It's not going to work. Because then you're going to be like the snail cleaning the nice little paved road over here, but the rest of the life over here is just goo. You need to address the fullness of your heart, not just a piece of it. When we give our lives to Jesus, is that just a part of your life? You go from age 20 to 27, you know, 7 good years, I'm going to go all in. And then, you know what, maybe I'll give you to 50. And then after 50, you know what, I got to retire. I'm going to take a break. At least from serving as hard as I was, right? Or loving you maybe as much as I intend or whatever. We need to analyze the fullness of our life, not just a part of it. When we give our lives to Jesus, it's the whole life, right? That's how it is. So what's more important? Is it tradition or is it your heart to you? What's more important? Is it your way or God's way? What's more important? Is it addressing it or not addressing it? Matthew 12, 33-37 says this. A tree is known by its fruit. Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or make the tree bad and its fruit bad, for the tree is known by its fruit. You brood of vipers, how can you speak good when you are evil? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And the good person out of his good treasure brings forth good, and the evil person out of his evil treasure brings forth evil. And I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give account for every careless word they speak. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you'll be condemned. What is it? What is the overflow of our heart? What is it that comes out of our mouth? Because that's what defiles us. And this here, Jesus is saying it again. It matters what comes out. It matters. And so he gives another analogy. He goes, the tree. Is it good tree? Is it good fruit? Or is it a bad tree? And bad trees just give off bad fruit. You speak good when you can't speak good when you're evil. It's not how it works. When you're evil, you're going to speak evil. When you're good, you're going to speak good. And so as we look at our lives, now let's think of this as the analogy of a tree. Make the tree of your heart good. Plant the word in your heart. Because the word of God is Christ. It is him. Jesus is the word. Plant him into the center of your heart. Make that the tree. And who is the dweller of your soul? Is it the Holy Spirit? Is it Christ? Or is it something else? Is something else planted there? Is something else having its way in there? Is there a weed that seems to be covering it over? And there's this, you feel like Jesus, you know Jesus is there, but there's like, it's just covered. What is the condition of your heart? Has something else been allowed to grow and have its way? Weed it out. Get rid of it. Why would you keep it there? Right? But we need to honestly and constantly be coming to Jesus and going, look, I know I'm not good. And go work through that with him and go, look, I'm not perfect. I never will be, but I want to be. I want to just give this to you because I want your way. I want to be made into your image, not into the, I want more every single day. May that be the center of our hope in our life. That's planted there in our heart. Matthew 6 says this, do not store up treasures here on earth where moths eat them and rust destroys them, where thieves break in and steal. Store your treasures in heaven where moths rust cannot destroy and thieves do not break in and steal. Wherever your treasure is there, the desires of your heart will be also. Your eye is like a lamp that provides light for your body. When your eye is healthy, your whole body is filled with light. But when your eye is unhealthy, your whole body is filled with darkness. And if the light you think you have is actually darkness, how deep that darkness is. No one can serve two masters, for you will hate one and love the other. You will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and be enslaved to money. Where is the desire of your heart? Is Jesus the desire of your heart? Is it the deepest focus? It's not that you don't desire other things. You hope for other things, for yourself and for others. But what is the deepest desire? What is that? Because you can't serve two masters. There's going to be one master. Which is it? Right? And here it gives the analogy of an eye. If the eye is healthy, then the whole body is filled with light. Let's think about that in the concept of a heart. If the heart is healthy, then the whole heart is filled with light. If the heart is unhealthy, then the whole heart is filled with darkness. You can't serve two masters. It's going to be one or the other. So what is the desire of your heart? Now you're asking yourself. You're looking at the condition, but the honest desire now. As you look at that condition, you need to be honest with yourself. Do I want to deal with this, right? Do I want Jesus at the center? Make the tree good. and its fruit is good. If the tree is bad, you're going to see bad fruit. Do you crave your life to glorify Jesus and only him? What is your heart filled with? Pain, rage, malice, lust, deceit, envy, lust, or peace, joy, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control, grace, love? What is it that fills your heart? And so look at the overflow. What do your actions tell you again? And I think if we're all honest with ourselves, including me and myself, let me tell you, there is stuff as I prepared for this message where God is just going, look, you're reading it, right? Josh, focus on your own nail. It's weird to preach a message like this and go, there is always stuff for me to work on. But let's focus on ourselves. Look at your actions at church, at home, at school, at work. Are we quick to anger, whatever it is? Or are we filled with the love of God? But I want to ask this question, okay? When we fail, when we don't do it as we hope, as we intend, this shows us the true intention of our heart as well, and I want to draw attention to it. That when you fail, is it your heart's desire to then go to Jesus and go, look, something is not good here. And then when you go to Jesus, do you listen? And then go back to that situation and just go, I need to come back, and we need to address this, as hard as it is. Or do you just leave that situation to tend to itself? It's somebody else's problem now. It's not mine. It's time's problem. I'll let time heal it, right? It's easy for time to deal with everything, but that's not what we're supposed to do. And so look at your intent and your desire as you come to Christ after hard things where you fail and you falter, because we all do. To know your heart is to look in those situations then and go, yes, it is my desire. To say, no, it's not okay. I need to come to you, Jesus. I need to go back to this person or to this situation. I need to address this the way it needs to be. To not let what comes out of our mouth stay defiled, but to come and fix what it is that we have done, as we should. And so now that we're aware of our hearts, or more aware, how then do we need to change our lives to stop doing the things that we were doing? I'm here to tell you, you're probably not going to be 100%. You're not going to be perfect. But how is it that we can aim ourselves to be changed more into the likeness of Christ? That's the question. So that when it comes up again next time, your heart is already in a posture, readiness. And so what do we do now? What now? And it's actually kind of exciting to ask that kind of a question. If you go, Jesus, I'm ready, my posture, my heart. And many of you are probably listening to me this morning, maybe, and you're going like, Josh, let me tell you, my heart's actually really good. Awesome. Your heart posture is ready. What now? What is our response? What should our response be? Because if our life is no longer toxic and spewing out and defiling the world around us, we're actually doing the opposite now. We're breathing life, living water out to those around us. And so what does life look like? And you know what? Then you get all kinds of questions, right? Where can we serve? Where can we go? What can I say? How can I pray? What can I do? Right? What time should I wake up? To just be in your presence. What now, God? Our church has seen a lot of changes in the last year. Forever, really, right? Before I've been here, this church has been changing always. But in the last year, we've been changing to focus on going out, focusing on helping others in a greater measure. It's not that we weren't before. Now we're like, no, let me tell you, we need to go. We need to do. We need to give. That has been the majority of our hearts as a church posture. It's been shifting towards that. And so asking yourself the question in regards to that, there's a lot of opportunities that have been coming out of it. And if you don't see an opportunity that matches with the time frame that you have, let me tell you, there are people that are going, I have this idea. Does this sound like a good idea? We should go and do this. And that's becoming way more frequent than we've seen in the past, to the point where we've had to address it as a staff. Of how do we, when these people come to us with these ideas, these amazing ideas of going to serve people around them, how do we just, instead of saying we don't and we can't, is there a solution where we can say, yes, we can? And I think that our church's posture is shifting in a very radical way, to the point where it's actually starting to get very uncomfortable, right? Where now we are saying, we're going to go. And then Jesus is like, look, here's an opportunity. And our heart goes, whoa, you know, I'm tired, right? I haven't got my coffee yet. All these excuses, right? But you go, I need to go. And so you just jump in awkwardly, right? But where is it that God is leading us to go? It's okay if it's uncomfortable. There's a lot of change. In the fall, I mean, Pastor Joel just mentioned growth groups and how maybe there's some uneasiness of change. But our heart's posture says that we got to change so that we can know one another, that we can grow together, that we can spur each other on in a greater measure, that our relationships aren't just stagnant with the 10, you know, maybe 5 people that we know in a really good way. It's like, no, we need to reach out, even here in amongst us, to spur each other on. We have seen faith in a greater way in this church starting to pop up. And people are going, is there a place? How can I find community here? And this is our way of saying, I think this is it. This is an opportunity for us all to go, am I uncomfortable? Yes. Is it uncomfortable to go and do things for Jesus? Yes. Yes. Okay. I remember when I did the Streets Alive thing in Lethbridge. It's outreach where you get to walk down the streets. And I remember telling Jesus before I went, I would say yes to every opportunity that they gave to us. And some of the opportunities that they gave to us were very uncomfortable. We walked into halfway houses and just cleaned up for these men that are in this halfway house. We went, you know, down the streets, walking down the streets with this petite girl who was maybe like 3 years older than me, but she was bold and on fire for Jesus. And she goes, this house. She's like, your turn. You're like, I'm not the professional, right? But she's like, neither am I. Get up there, right? And we'd invite these kids to come to this place where they could come on the weekend and just be a kid and get poured into and have meals. And it's uncomfortable to love people sometimes. But this is what God is calling us to do. What is the posture of our heart? What is its condition? May we be aware of what we need to deal with. May we actually choose to not be offended by the word this morning, but to go, you know, Jesus, even though I don't see anything that I need to work with, if there is, show me, please show me. Because I want to be more in your image when I leave this place than when I walked in. And so how is the condition of your heart? It's the beginning of the summer. Take the opportunity now to focus on that so that throughout the summer, when we hear the word being preached again, we are ready for whatever it is that comes out. What is it that Jesus is telling us to do? May our hearts be ready, and may the overflow of our heart as a church be obvious. May when the people look at our church, they go, look, I see something that I didn't expect. There is genuine love when I look here. There's genuine people who love Jesus here. When I walk in, they worship harder than I think is normal, right? Why are they singing loudly, right? This is awkward. But it's because we love Jesus that much. And when they come in, we're ready for them because we love them that much. And we don't even know them, right? But it's because we just have a heart for people. May that be the fruit that comes out, is the fruit of the Spirit, is like the ministry of Jesus pouring out into the world still, because that is what's happening.
Thanks for listening to this week's message from Spruce Grove Alliance Church. For more information or to hear past messages, please visit sgac.net.